Good morning.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Awesome. How you doing?
Oh, really good.
Good. How's Ricky
glad
doing?
To be back in town.
What's that?
He's, you know, he's up in Massachusetts right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's, he'll be back on Monday.
Cool. How's the expo doing?
Huh?
How's his, expedition doing?
Oh, it's doing really well. He's, they're supposed to have a big, huge rain day today, though, so he's going to the circus, he said.
Hmm. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So what's happening on your end, the neck of the woods there?
Not a whole lot. Carol's back to work this week, so that's been an interesting thing. But
she's good.
She's holding up pretty good. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's able to figure out how to work around all the challenges of the building and her wheelchair, and so she decided she was tired of sitting at home doing nothing. So.
Yeah.
She.
Bless her heart. That's great. It'll probably be really good to get out.
Yeah, she was happy to be out and about, but she's tired when she got home Monday night. She did better the next night, and then she was tired again last night, so. But she's doing good,
yeah.
So I'm proud of her. So, anyway, I gotta run. Have a great day.
Okay, Steve. Thanks. Have a good one.
You too.
Well, this morning. Anybody else here with me this morning? Anybody join us? Good morning. Hello, this is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. You all by yourself?
I'm all by myself.
Ah. Oh. What's up with these girls?
Oh, I don't know. I think life gets in the way, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I was just heading into the shower, and I was just going to listen to the call for a while because I've got to get out, so.
Did you see
Dr.
Oz last night?
He's arrived.
What was that on? Tell me.
Well, he had a neat thing about Japan. And
oh, yes, in Okinawa. Yeah. Well, that's where my karate style started. That's my heritage. So I know a little bit about that culture that he was talking about, which was pretty.
Yeah, and he had the woman that wrote, Shar had given me a book, Japanese Women Don't Get Old or Fat. Remember that book?
Uh-huh.
The Two Secrets of...
No, I don't remember it, but I remember hearing him talk about it, yeah.
It's of my mother's Tokyo kitchen. She was on there with her mom. I mean, her husband, excuse me.
I was going to say.
they talked about when he... when they lived there, they were thin, and when they lived here, they were heavier when they ate the American lifestyle.
Yep.
And yep. Women have the highest longevity there, which was pretty interesting, too. And then the men follow in, you know, second. I was looking through the book, and there is a little chart in the book, too, that has that.
But no wrinkles. Remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. They not only live longer, but they live the healthiest. Which I thought was pretty neat. And then he talked about superfoods. He had them talk about the four, not superfoods, but the four secrets. I forgot what the four things, what he called them. Because then there were four things that they did, secrets for their diet in Japan. But one of the things, and we talked about this on the call before, is that natto, N-A-T-T-O.
Yeah.
A fermented soy food.
Have you ever had it?
I have years ago. I may go and try it again. I had it a long time ago. One of my doctor friends said, Jeannie, if you should probably learn to eat this if you possibly could. It's really, really good for you. So I may try it again. He had them tasted on the show. You know, it was funny. He said it has an enzyme in it that thins the blood. Removes plaque out of the bloodstream, has high phytoestrogens in it. And fermented soy foods like natto over versus regular just tofu has 5 times more active ingredients in it for our body. Sophie said, you know, it'd be a good thing to eat. And the second one was matcha green tea.
Now that natto, did you, how do you eat? I mean, he just had it in a bowl and they were just doing it by the spoonful, but I wonder how much.
I think you get it, and then you, what I remember that my friend had is it came in like a yogurt type of container, and you had to pull back the lid.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you had to add water to it, if you had to add something to it. I'm not sure. So, I'll see if I can find some this week, and I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I bet Whole Foods would have it, but because they're closer than the Asian store.
Did Whole Foods have it?
I think they do, yeah.
Huh.
You probably have to ask where it would be.
I wonder if it has to be refrigerated.
I think it does.
Huh?
I think it does, but I don't know. Char would know more about it probably. I think she's purchased it more recently than I have.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she was talking about it earlier this year. I'm pretty sure it was earlier this year, so. Anyway, I have to try it again. So when they tasted it, they were like, well, you know, yeah, it's pretty good. Nutty and whatever, and I'm like, I don't remember it being that way.
It almost looked chewy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of more liquidy, it was almost like chewy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder how much, in order to get the benefit, how much you have to eat of it.
Yeah, I think he said, too. Can't remember what it was now.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember hearing him say that. That's what I was curious about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do some research and find out how much you need to have of it.
Yeah.
And do you need to have it on a daily basis?
Right. Incorporated it in a multitude of foods that we have to have.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
There was the matcha green tea.
It's healthy, you know?
Yeah. He talked about seaweed. Seaweed is another one. And then there was what I thought was interesting. I don't know how he pronounced it, but it was Icky Guy. And he goes, it's not that crazy guy down the street either. And he said it can add 7 years to your life. And she explained that means is the reason for which we wake up in the morning. And so that's one of their reasons, they say, for longevity, too, is that when they wake up in the morning, they have a reason for getting up. And
mm-hmm.
They talked about focusing on your purpose and all of that. I thought that was really cool, too.
That was really in harmony.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was almost like the, that's where Mr. Masuda, you know, came from Japan. So, I mean, you know, having those 5 pillars, it's almost, you know, the same thing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You must have harmony in your life to have health in your life. That's exactly what I thought of, the 5 pillars of health. And this
yep.
That's cool.
Hmm.
And then he talked about weight loss secrets, or she talked about weight loss secrets from the thinnest people in the world. They have a broth-based soup with every meal. And they call it dashi, D-A-S-H-E. I've seen that word before. And they take kelp, take one of the seaweeds, they boil it, and then they add bonita flakes, and then they strain it. And that's the clear broth. And then you can add miso to it. You can add vegetables to it, you know, make miso soup or whatever. But just that broth-based soup every meal.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny, too, because at Paku, you know, we basically, every night we had soup before we had all our vegetables and stuff.
Yeah.
There
was a vegetarian restaurant I've been to up here in Phoenix. I've been there. It was called the Loving Hut. And they serve before, you know, instead of chips and salsa, you know, at a Mexican restaurant, they bring you a little brothy soup with a couple of little vegetables in it that's fantastic. I'm like, oh, I love this soup.
I know. Why don't we have it? Why don't we eat it? And, I mean, why don't we do that more often?
Yeah. I think that would be awesome. And another thing they talked about, she talked about one of the four things, weight loss secrets for the thin, is portion control. And she said, my mother always said, food should be arranged on your plate like a painting. And you know how they have several little bowls? They have like a little bowl of this and a little bowl of that all on one plate. A little bowl of this and a little thing of that. And she said, remember, you can always go back for seconds and thirds. And Dr. Oz said, well, we do that already anyway. It was funny. Go back for seconds and thirds. And then chopsticks. Try to eat with chopsticks. It helps you to slow down. It gives you good hand and eye coordination. And he said, give yourself a week trying it. If you can't get it, then just eat slow with your fork. Put your fork down after every bite. Eat slowly. And then the fourth one was they have rice with every meal. And they use short grain rice that's plain. And Dr. Oz said he did a little research, and he said brown rice, of course, is better. And she said, yeah, Japan's real originally their power food was brown rice. So they do white rice pretty much now, but originally it was a brown rice. So just a small little bowl with nothing on it, just plain, with every meal. So I'm like, wow. I know in Hawaii they eat macaroni with every meal, macaroni salad with every meal. So it's interesting. Are you still there? Hello? I lost Dottie. I lost myself. Anyway.
You're still on. This is Onita. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Onita. How are you?
All right. I'm getting ready to go to work, so I've been just listening while I ran around doing things.
Yeah, well, Dottie was too, so I know she was heading out.
Now I'm trying to program the VCR so it'll take, was that Dr. Oz yesterday?
This was last night.
Okay.
Show. I happened to see it, which is pretty interesting. Her husband went from 230 pounds to 185 pounds in a short amount of time. I think he said 3 months or something. And by eating this way, switching from the American diet to the way the Japanese eat. I just thought it was really interesting.
Well, I had, I was gone. We had to do something else yesterday evening, so I didn't get to watch. So I thought, but we do, yesterday's show, I get again at 11 o'clock, so.
Oh, good.
I was going to try to program my VCR and then put a sticky note on the television telling my husband not to change channels when he gets back from his tour, so.
Yeah. Good.
See if I can pick it up. Sometimes that channel comes in and sometimes it won't, so we'll see if it comes in today.
Sure. Well, that's good. Yeah, it was good. It was about the first half of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, the last half I had things I had to do, and I had it on, but I didn't really. They talked about dental things, cavities, and stuff like that. How to tell if you have a sensitive tooth? He took a spoon, the back of a spoon, like the handle of a spoon, and tap it gently on each one of your teeth.
Mm.
If you have any sensitivity, then you've got something going on in that tooth.
Wow.
Being that I've been to the dentist a lot, I knew that with my root canal specialist, he would always tap on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you felt something, or he'd put ice on it.
Woo!
If you have a problem and you have ice on your tooth, it'll...
Well, that's like if you break a bone or something, the way to tell is to stick your hand or whatever it is under cold water, and if it hurts, well, then you go in and have a check.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that. That's good.
That's what I'd always heard anyway. I haven't had any problems with it, but...
Yeah. Wow.
Plus, there's an obvious distortion, like one of our sons broke a collarbone one time. He had gone across the street to the neighbors, and he came tearing back across the street and tripped himself up, and boy, I knew immediately because that shoulder just hung, so...
Oh, wow. Oof. Yeah, I haven't had any... I haven't had any broken bones. I've had sprained ankles, but I haven't had any broken bones.
Like six or seven at the time, and that was...
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I've dealt with, so...
Right. Oh, good. Well, there's in Life Extension magazine, they had a article about exercise as a dose of good medicine.
Mm-hmm.
For those, part of a treatment plan. This one gal is in recovery from a breast cancer. She's a survivor. And she says it's almost as important as chemotherapy and helping her stay on this earth as long as possible. A lot of times they say to make them, you know, don't exercise and relax and stuff, but they're saying no.
Mm.
That some sort of physical activity is going to be really good.
A lot of the young ladies from church, actually she and her husband were over working at Woodstock School in India, and she was diagnosed with...
Has left the conference.
They went ahead and... Are you still there?
I am. Uh-huh, I'm here.
I was going to say, she... they had to come back, obviously, and they're trying to shrink her tumor so that they can do surgery. And she and her husband were out riding bike yesterday, so.
Good.
All over town, she said even with the chemo, she was feeling pretty good. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were saying that it's kind of, the research is still in its early stages.
Yeah.
But there's encouraging evidence that consistent workouts can help with everything from cancer, autoimmune disorders, and Parkinson's disease to alcoholism. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So there's a burgeoning exercise is medicine movement coming out, the American College of Sports Medicine, Chicago Park District, and cancer support groups. The new national...
Oh, it's arrived.
Urge both patients and survivors to exercise during and after treatment for 150 minutes per week. The same advice given to the general public. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And this guy that works, she's an associate professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the Cancer Center, University of School of Medicine. Anyway, she says that exercise is a stressor on the body, but said that resting too much can also have adverse effects. Our message is avoid inactivity is essential.
It's arrived.
If exercise isn't already a habit, of course, it can be intimidating. It's harder to do when you don't feel good. Some people would truly rather take a pill. But once they do it, so many people feel so much better.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So anyway... So we have some other people join us?
Oh, I ended up having to take another call, and then I just got back on it again. But I'm going to put you guys on mute. No, I'm going to listen.
Okay.
I get into the show.
Thanks, Dottie.
Who's that? I just said good morning a little late.
Hi, Char. It's good morning. That's okay. We're all a little late today. It's okay. So it happens. Did you see Dr. Oz's show last night?
No, I did not. But I've got it recorded.
Yeah, well, there's...
Is it good?
Yeah, they had, you know, the Japanese Women Don't Get Older Fat lady that wrote the book.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, she was on with her husband. And they, so you're going to want to watch it. They talked about... Japan. I think it's about the first half hour of the show, maybe the first 25 minutes or so. But and one of the cool things, Dottie and I talked about this, she had seen the show before or something, is in Japan they have a philosophy that you must have harmony in your life to have health in your life. And I thought of Mr. Masuda and the balance, the five pillars of health and that kind of thing too. But the thrust of the show is that the longest living people on the planet and the thinnest people on the planet, pretty much. And so they talked about Japan and the four things that they eat. I forgot what the first four things were called, but they were natto, which is that fermented soy food. He had them eat it, sample it. He had one of his people from the audience sample it. And then he said, do you think I should sample it? And she said, yes. And he sampled it and said, yeah, it's not bad. kind of nutty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of nutty. They didn't make any faces, and I was like, wow. I have to go get
that. If they'd done that, nobody else would have tried it, huh?
Yes, so, I guess. But he talked about it really is a superfood. There was a guy on there who, I didn't write down his name, but he has researched out all these things in Japan, and I think he has done other around the world too. But so he was the one that was sharing this with Dr. Oz, and then had the Naomi Moriyama and her husband was on with her too. But he said it's a superfood. It has an enzyme in it that thins the blood and that helps to remove plaque from the bloodstream from your arteries, and full of phytoestrogens. And Dr. Oz said that fermented soy foods have 5 times more active ingredients than, let's say, tofu. So that's why it's so good for you. But they eat that, and then matcha green tea. And they sampled a little bit of matcha green tea. It had a green powder. It looked like jade green zymes in the bottom of the cup. That's what I thought it looked like. And then he said that this was the essence of green tea. So it was a powdered form, it looked like.
And that's M-A-C-H-E?
I think it's, I didn't see how they spelled it, but I've seen it, M-A-T-C-H-E. Matcha.
Okay.
It could be M-A-C-H-E, because I've seen that too, but when you watch it, you might see what the spelling is. I was writing and didn't see it flashed it on the screen. He calls it a social lubricant. It's a really social thing. He says you never pour your own cup, and they sit on the floor. He had them sit on the floor, you know, or kneel down at the little low table, you know, that the Japanese have. And I remember I thought of when I went to visit Ricky's sister-in-law in Florida. Her mother is from the old country of Syria, and she drinks the matcha green tea. And it's a whole ritual thing. You sit on the floor in the living room, and she even has a little burner, a little of a Bunsen burner, which I'm not sure that's what that is, but a little burner, and she has a little teapot and a stainless steel little cup and a stainless steel straw with a spoon on it. Pretty interesting. And makes tea, and she serves it to everybody around the room. And then we all drink the green tea. You know, pretty interesting. But and it's a little bit sweeter than regular green tea, so if you don't like green tea, you might like this one better, he said.
Huh.
And you put it in the cup, and you whisk it. And he had a little broom whisk. It looked like funny the things you think of. It looked like a, remember the old shavers when I used to watch my dad shave and he'd use that little whiskey thing to put on the shaving cream. That's what this looked like to me, but he whisked the green tea in the cup with that. And then you don't cook the tea. It's only, you bring it just to, before it boils. Otherwise you kind of kill some of the ingredients in it. Anyway, the third one was seaweed, and they showed all sorts of, they had arami, hijiki, kelp, wakame, and nori, and they're available fresh or dried, and he said, you know, dried is easier to find than fresh, usually. Seaweed has a lot of B vitamins and that counter inflammation in the body. And then the fourth one was ikigai, and he said it's not that, you know, it's not that guy down the row that you don't like either. And I don't know how to spell it. I just wrote out what I thought it sounded like. But ikigai can add 7 years to your life. And she described it as the reason, this is the reason for which we wake up in the morning. And I thought, wow, you know, that's our purpose. You know, why we get up every morning and they focus on their purpose. I thought that was big. So these must have been the four things that they attribute to having longevity.
I wonder now if they're better covered in the book. Do you remember that?
Well, I pulled my book out because I have to look. I haven't looked yet to see, but I bet you that's in here. And I will...
I can't remember whether they're indexed at the back or not. Let me look.
Yeah, let me see. William Doyle is her husband. He went from 230 pounds to 185 pounds.
Wow.
Eating the way the Japanese do. And I don't even know how to, spell that. If I see hijiki here, that's one of the sea vegetables. I know I made some rice the other day, and I put, I have two different sea vegetables in here in my pantry, and I thought I should probably use these instead of waiting for a recipe that requires it. I read on the package that you can put it in your rice water, you know, when you cook your rice, or I used some when I made my my black beans, too, and they turned out so good and tender. I think it was the wakame leaf that I used. I have wakame and I have arami.
Yeah, those are two fairly common ones.
I think you can substitute either one of those.
In recipes, you know, calling for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's fun to experiment with them, isn't it?
Yeah. And then they talked about the four secrets from the weight loss secrets from the thinnest people. One of them was have a broth-based soup with every meal. And she rattled off this dashi. So I'm going to look that up in here, which is she takes kelp and boils it. And then takes it off the heat and then adds bonita flakes. And then you strain it. It's just a clear broth. They have that at every meal. And you can add miso to it and make miso soup. You can add vegetables to it, you know, kind of whatever.
That's why they've got so many thin soups.
Yeah. And, you know, I went to this vegetarian restaurant up the street here called The Loving Hut, and they serve that. A little bowl, it's like, you know, for your appetizer or something. You don't pay for it. It's included with your meal. And they bring you a little bowl of that soup. Clear broth. It has a couple little vegetables in it. But the big pot, I saw the big giant pot that they make it in. You know, and it had a few little veggies in it. It's really delicious.
Our boss at the end of last tax season took us to one of the Japanese restaurants in Wichita, and they served a clear soup, too, at the beginning of the... You know, that was one of those grill things where your cook stands in front of you and chops everything up.
Yeah.
And grills it right away. But the soup was delicious. In fact, my husband even thought it was good, which is amazing. I mean, he likes soup, but this was out of the ordinary for him, so.
And as she says in her book, Japanese home cooks use dashi as a base in which to simmer foods, as well as for soup, sauces, and dressings. Master Chef Shizuo Tsuji, author of Japanese Cooking, A Simple Art, wrote, dashi provides Japanese cuisine with its characteristic flavor, and it can be said without exaggeration that the success or failure or mediocrity of a dish is ultimately determined by the flavor and quality of the dashi that seasons it.
What was the name of that guy?
His name was, it's Shizuo, and then his last name is Tsuji.
Okay.
Japanese Cooking, A Simple Art. And she says, the miracle of dashi lies in its ability to add a savory succulence to simmered dishes while liberating the essential flavors of each ingredient. To me, a potato tastes more like a potato when it's simmered, when it's been simmered in dashi.
Hmm.
Same holds true for eggplant, string beans, and almost any kind of fish.
So instead of cooking it in water, you cook it in dashi, and then you've got broth. So.
Oh, yeah.
You don't lose your nutrients that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's In the New York Times article, food writer Mark Bittman described dashi as providing a beguiling fragrance that is an odd combination of earth, sea, and smoke. If you've ever eaten an exquisite hot Japanese meal in a restaurant, chances are that dashi played a key behind the scenes role. And then there's two versions, they call it in here, first dashi and second dashi. What's the difference there? Oh, you use, first dashi is kombu and water and bonito flakes. And then the second one is you combine the used kombu and bonito flakes from the first making, and you add water and bring it to a boil and reduce the heat to low and simmer for 10 minutes. And then you strain it, and it stores in the refrigerator. So it spoils quickly, it says. So interesting. The Japanese eat rice instead of bread with every meal.
Now, is that number two, or did you go?
Let's see. Number one was the broth. Number two is, she said, is the portions.
Oh, okay.
And she said, my mother always said, your food should be arranged like a painting on your plate. And you know how they have the little bowls of things?
Uh-huh.
And so it's just small amounts. And she said, now remember, you can always go back for seconds and thirds. You know, if you're looking at it going, what? Is this all I get to eat? And Dr. Oz said, yeah, we're already used to that. 2 to 3 helpings. 2 to 3 times going back.
Hey, Jeannie, wasn't there something about white rice? I remember I heard something about white rice and brown rice, because he said something about brown rice.
Yeah, and he did a little research. He said the Japanese original power food was the brown rice, and they're kind of going back to brown rice. But they had done short grain rice before, and it was white. A lot of the restaurants serve it white, but it's the brown rice. So I was going to look and see what she had to say about it, too. The third thing was chopsticks. Learn how to eat with chopsticks. Or if you just try it for a week, Dr. Oz said, try it for a week. It helps you to slow down. It's really good eye and hand coordination, that kind of thing. And he said, give it a good week. And he goes, if you just can't get it, then go back to your fork, but put your fork down after every bite. The idea is to eat slowly. You can't shovel with chopsticks too well.
No.
Yeah. And then the fourth one was the rice. And
how did you say that? Rice instead of...
Rice instead of... She says in her book, the Japanese eat rice instead of bread with every meal.
That's why I like rice, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
My husband doesn't, though.
Yeah. Japanese people eat a medium portion of rice with almost every home-cooked meal. By having rice with most meals, the Japanese are able to avoid the belly-busting muffins, rolls, and white bread that are most ubiquitous in America and are often eaten several times a day. And then she has a recipe for Japanese-style rice. This is, I'm looking in the book now. But, and it says short grain white rice or haigamai, haiga-mai, or brown rice. So Dr. Oz had said the original power food was brown rice in Japan. Helps you to feel full.
Well, it stays with you too, you know.
Yeah, and I do like rice too.
We do too.
Which I think I'm gonna make should probably make myself a pot of rice today. Too. Okay, now I was so excited when I heard Japan on there. I was like, oh, cool. And then when I saw she was on there, I'm like, oh, I gotta get that book out again and look at it. But they do. Japanese women have the lowest obesity rate in the developed world. And they're the world champions of longevity. Not only do they live longer, but they live healthier years. Healthier, longer years.
What was her name again?
Her name is Naomi Moriyama. Moriyama.
Okay.
And William Doyle is her husband. Japanese women don't get old or fat.
Yeah.
The name of the... She has a picture of her on the front. Sitting. Cute. She gets some good statistics in there, too. In her book, in the beginning part, I had read up to a certain spot and marked it. They give some of those on the... some of those on the show briefly.
Okay.
It looks like, yeah, Japan, women in life expectancy at birth for women in Japan is 85 years old. And for men is 78. Both sexes combined, it's 82. The United States is at the bottom. And there, women are 80 and men 75. And the average is 77 for both sexes. Kind of interesting. I tried a recipe, too. I have to tell you this recipe real quick. It's from Vegetarian Times. It's Thai red curry with green beans and eggplant.
Which issue of...
This was from... I printed it April 1st, 2009. It was really good.
Was it in the magazine, too, or...?
Well, it must have been, because it says... Okay. It's from that issue. If you
Thai red curry, what?
With green beans and eggplant.
Ooh, I got both.
Yeah, and it has coconut, light coconut milk, garlic, fresh ginger, red curry paste. You want me to tell it to you real quick?
Sure. Let's see. Yeah.
So the ingredient list is, and this serves four: 2 tablespoons of peanut oil. 3 small Japanese eggplants sliced, 1 pound. And I thought Whole Foods would have a Japanese eggplant, and they didn't at the time, and so I got a regular eggplant. And I kind of quartered it, you know, instead of just slicing it, because Japanese eggplant are a lot slimmer.
They're a little easier to work with sometimes for certain recipes.
Yeah.
Size.
I just haven't made it to the Asian store, and the guy goes, I'll order it for you. It'll be here by the weekend. I said, well, thank you very much. So I may have to go back and get some. And then 1 can of light coconut milk, 13.5-ounce can. And there's a note that says the coconut cream at the top of the can of coconut milk thickens this curry. So be careful not to shake the can before you open it.
Huh.
So because what you do is you heat your wok or your pan over medium-high heat, and you add the oil and the eggplant and stir fry for about 3 minutes or until it begins to brown, and then you put it on a plate.
So you're taking out just the top of... No, you said heat the wok.
Yeah, we're doing... You do the oil and the eggplant, stir fry it first, and then put it on a plate. And then you're going to...
Okay.
3 to 4 tablespoons of coconut cream from the top of the can, and you put that into the wok. After you cook your eggplant, you take that out, and then you put in the coconut cream, 3 to 4 tablespoons. I put 4. That's about as much as was on the top. And it's not thick, 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 but it's thicker than the milk.
Right.
And then you add 3 cloves of garlic minced, about a tablespoon. A tablespoon of minced fresh ginger. A tablespoon of red curry paste, prepared red curry paste. And then you stir fry that for about a minute. and then you stir in the remaining coconut milk. And then 2 tablespoons of dark brown sugar. 1 tablespoon of low-sodium soy sauce. And then you're going to have 1 pound of thin green beans, trimmed, that you add, trimmed green beans. And I left them long. I was going to cut them, and I thought, no, because I didn't find the really thin ones. I got, they're pretty good, though, the green beans that I had.
Oh, those long, yard-long ones, I bet would be good in there, too.
I know, and that's what I really wanted. So I bet those would be really more authentic, too.
Yeah, right.
You know? Just,
they have a little different look and taste.
Mm-hmm. And then 1 large red onion cut into 1/2-inch wedges. You put that in there, too, and the eggplant that you already cooked. And then you cover it and simmer it until the vegetables are tender. And then there's one last thing. After they're tender, you use 1/2 cup of packed Thai or sweet basil leaves and 2 teaspoons of lime juice. You add that. After it's done, then you stir that in. It's delicious. And you might want to add a little bit more of the red curry paste. That's what I thought. I would add a little bit more of that rather than 1 tablespoon. I might put 2 tablespoons. But it's just delicious, and I'm going to have the rest for lunch today. I made that not yesterday, but the day before. And had a little bit of rice with it. No, I had, I had made some orzo. When I came home Monday night, it was late, and I was like, what do I have? Because I hadn't been to the grocery store. And I had some orzo, and I had, I just spiced it up with basil, not fresh basil, but I made like a pesto to go on it. I just after I cooked it, I put a little bit of olive oil on it and a little bit of basil leaves and ate that. Oh, and some peas, frozen peas. So anyway, I had a little bit of that left of the orzo, and so I just ate that with it.
So you used miso and basil and what did you say? Is that what you said? Orzo?
Orzo, yeah. I kind of made a little pesto. But I didn't really make a pesto. I just used the the dried basil, and drizzled some olive oil on it. And then I had frozen peas that I mixed in with it.
Oh, I thought you said miso on this.
Yeah, you could. You could do some miso in with your rice water, your orzo water. I was wanting rice, and I didn't feel like making it at the time, so...
Well, I'm saying bye. I've got to head for the office. So.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Anita.
Good call.
Thanks for coming on and supporting. Kind of over anyway, but...
Has left the conference.
All these ideas, I've got to take my pad with me, so I'll do some of them down at the beach.
Yeah. So now, when are you guys leaving?
Today. We're heading down to Redding and then... Well, Klamath Falls, then Redding, and then up to the beach.
Okay, good.
Making a loop.
I was going to give you, I left it on your phone, I think.
I got it.
Sam's phone number, in case you guys are around that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I took it off last night.
Okay, good.
The one you gave me, or two, I can't remember. Two, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I gave you her home number and then the
cell. Yeah, I got both of them down. I replayed it to make sure I got it right.
And they don't always answer their home phone, but they'll call you back, so. Just depends on where they are. That was just my observation when I was there.
Uh-huh. Well, you get in the middle of things, you can't cover everything at one time.
Well, I know. Very true. So, well, have fun.
Hey, just wondering, does anybody know what the new products are going to be?
Yeah, Vance, let's see, I'm wondering if he'll say it. He Well, not necessarily what they're going to be. We don't know what they're going to be, but we know that, well, the kickoff's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you know about the new Siaga. And the
no.
New Siaga and new packaging. I'm sure they're going to have, one of the guys.
Oh, really? What happened to the old one? Is it?
It just got improved, that's all.
Oh.
We're all excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... I mean, they've got reasons for doing it. Anytime they can improve, they are using... they like Nike's thing. If it works, fix it, if you can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're, you know, there's nothing wrong with what we had before, but they can make it better. It's just like the sleep system. They can make it better.
Uh-huh.
So that's what they're going to do.
Uh-huh. And so it's just wonderful. I mean, even like the packaging, you know what I mean? I mean, I had a few people, you know, complained about the shipping because it was so expensive, you know. It was, you know, quite expensive to ship it because it was glass bottles. I was just wondering if they're...
And they have new packaging too.
Yeah. Made it a little bit lightweighter, lighter.
I just had a thought, you know, what about, this is kind of crazy. I don't know if I should say it on the call. Anyway.
It's just you, I, and Sha.
they have wine in cartons. They have a spout.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, wow, what if they did juice in a carton? Now, it would be lighter that way.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder what the safety factor is on the items that are in the, you know, containers. I mean, that's what they're going to take into consideration.
Exactly. You know, well, I was thinking about soy milk, you know, how soy milk comes in cartons.
Uh-huh.
And those kind of things. I wonder what's in those. I just never even thought about it before. I don't know.
Yeah, I have because that's what we see in Europe.
Oh,
and
do you?
They've used it for years and years in their milk cartons. I mean, almost all the milk sits on the shelf, or at least it used to. I don't know whether it still does.
Okay. Wow.
So, you know, just another...
Another thing, another thought about something.
Yeah.
Good. Well, okay, ladies. Thanks for coming and joining.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeannie.
See you real soon. Yeah. Have a great, great rest of the day.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye bye.
Have a safe trip.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Oh, that Char's having a safe trip. I'm staying home.
Oh, you can have a safe trip.
I think he'll have a safe trip home on Monday. He's coming home on Monday. All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.